We're going to look at John chapter 10 and verses 7 through 18. We're looking at the journey to the cross, and I do realize it's a few weeks yet until Easter. Easter is really late this year, end of April. I think April 26th, isn't it? So we have a few Sundays yet, but I really believe that the preaching of the cross is really what I need to hear, and I trust it's what you need to hear. It's really what characterized the preaching of the New Testament church. So I think whenever we diverge from that subject, I really think maybe we need to get back on track to thinking about the cross. It's really the central point, the focal point of our faith. Without the cross, there's no good news. There's no salvation. There really would be no Jesus as we know him. So we're going to look this morning at a scripture passage. Maybe you might not think of this as a passage having to do with the cross, but Jesus does speak of his death here. And when I think of how Jesus said that I am to take up my cross daily and follow him, I really think what he is trying to help me to realize is that without that cross, I am nothing. So we're going to look this morning at the scripture passage before us. And there in John chapter 10 and verse 7, Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. I have come that they may have life in abundance. And I've left out a few words here. I trust that maybe you'll have your Bibles open and fill in as we go along here. But in verse 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And in verse 14, he said, I know my own sheep, and they know me. And in verse 16, he said, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I am laying down my life, he said in verse 17. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take it up again. So there is really Jesus talking about the cross, isn't it? Because he's talking about laying down his life. It's why he came into this world was to pick up his cross and to bear it to Calvary and to die there for you and for me, for our sins, for my sins, for your sins. So we're going to take another stage on this journey to the cross. I'm sure we've all used that expression of life as a journey. And certainly when Jesus came, he took the journey of journeys because he came not just from a human origin, but he came from eternity. And who can tell how far that is? Infinite. Not just in miles, but in dimensions. He came from the perfections and the holy halls of heaven to this earth. And on this earth, he lived as a servant and taught us what it means to serve others. And a journey which ultimately took him to the cross. So I want to learn from this journey and this encounter with people along the way. I trust that you do. I want to learn especially how Jesus, what motivated him on this journey to the cross. So this morning, I want us to just focus on what Jesus is saying here at John chapter 10. And there's certainly the cross in the background, as it were, in the words that he is speaking here. Now, he hadn't gone to the cross yet, of course, and it would be a little while yet before he was to go to the cross. But he speaks of his saving, first of all. Now, thinking of that cross that Jesus said we must take up and bear after him, part of that is to tell about Jesus' Savior, about how Jesus is the only Savior. The Bible says there is salvation by no other name than the name of Jesus. And you can try to get to heaven your own way. You can say, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to live a good life. I'm going to believe in God, that God is a God of love, or whatever your beliefs might be. Or even living by the Ten Commandments or by the Sermon on the Mount. But Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. And if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. It's like what Jesus said in another passage in John 14:6, where he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So there is a singularity, if you will, about this. And what that means is that there's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to be saved. Do we need to be saved? Well, I believe we do because of our sins. Because God is a holy God, he must judge sin. And what's so wonderful about the cross is that there Jesus took my sins, took my judgment that I deserved, which was my sins, and gave me eternal life in exchange for that. And he will do the same for you. So there's a singularity in that saving. There's a security set up by me. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And there are many other passages of scriptures that speak of the security of a believer. God does it. God saves us. We don't save ourselves. We think of faith as coming from ourselves, but really the Bible says even our faith is a gift of God. We are really saved by God's grace through faith. And in that salvation, there's a security because it's God. It's all of God. It's none of us. And if it were up to me whether I could be saved or not, I mean, I'd be gritting my teeth all the time. I'd be trying to hold on to God and hoping that I, you know, when I die, somehow my good deeds will outweigh my bad deeds. And a lot of people think that way. But it's not up to us. It's up to God. It's up to what God did through Jesus on the cross. And there's a supply here spoken of by our Savior when he said, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Just think about that. Think about what Jesus is saying. I know there's this portrayal of Jesus in movies, books, many popular ideas of what Jesus must have been like as a very austere, angry person. For example, Jesus cast out the money changers from the temple. And we think of an angry Jesus. We think of how Jesus spoke words like we were reading this morning and how they seemed so uncompromising, which they were. And so we have this kind of picture of an angry God, an angry face of God in the face of Jesus, his son, which is so contrary to what I find in the scripture. Now, I know you can pick out passages here and there and portray Jesus as being angry. Yes, God is angry, the Bible says, with the wicked. He is also a God of love, and he sent Jesus to show us that love. That's what John 3:16 is all about. It says that God so loved the world, that's you and me, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to encourage you, if you've not done so, to invite Jesus to come into your heart today. I think Jesus was just a joy to be around. I think that there was this, a glow about his countenance, but a joy that just really disarmed everyone that he met. I wish that we could really see Jesus as he really was and as he really is. He said, I am come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. He wants to give you abundant life. Now, he doesn't necessarily mean he's going to give you everything that you want, because frankly, some of our wants are the problem, aren't they? We want things that probably aren't good for us, that we really shouldn't have, that would keep us from being the person that God created us to be. But I love verses like Philippians 4:19 that says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's what Jesus is saying here. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. So trust him today. If you've not done so before, he'll save you. And that we learn also about his servant here. Jesus said, the good shepherd, that's Jesus, of course. One of the many names for Jesus was the good shepherd. And he says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired man doesn't care about the sheep. So he contrasts the good shepherd here with the sheep. There's a sincere love, a sincere motive that this good shepherd has to protect the sheep. Again, getting back to that issue of security, it's not about us holding on to God. It's about him holding on to us and holding us in his hand. I believe that happens the moment that we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. We become his. We become new creatures, the Bible says, in Christ. And there's a sincerity about Jesus that you won't find in any of the other so-called world religion leaders or cult leaders or that other religion that may be a religion of this world, the religion of the flesh and the devil even. There isn't sincerity there. But in Jesus, he's sincere in that he loves us. John 3:16, think of that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, there's a sentiment here. It says he doesn't care. The hireling doesn't care about the sheep. Now, I don't know a lot about shepherding sheep, obviously. Maybe some of you do. We did come from a part of California where there were a lot of sheep. We hope to have a picture one of these days from one of our members there had a beautiful photograph of a sheep on a green hillside in Northern California. But that's about all I know. You know about whether you own something if you're going to take care of it. I mean, if you own a car, you're probably going to take care of it unless you just hate that car and you want to get another one. But whatever it is, Our family's the same way. We love that which belongs to us, or that we belong to. And it's what Jesus is saying here. I care. You know, he doesn't say that directly, but he says the hired man doesn't care about the sheep. But obviously Jesus cares for you. Casting all your care upon him, Peter said, because he cares for you. So there's a sentiment, there's a sacrifice spoken up here by our Savior when he said, I know my own sheep, and they know me. And he speaks about laying down his life for the sheep, laying down his life. Well, that's the ultimate indication, isn't it, of love. I mean, who would not give your life for someone that you truly love, whether it's a child, a parent, a spouse, or even a brother, sister, or sister in Christ? I mean, Jesus put that love in our heart. That's where it came from. That's what we read about here. His saving, his servant. And we're going to be electing some leaders in our church shortly, and we're going to have a nomination. We are having a nomination process. Incidentally, if you weren't here last week, I have some of the survey slips left that I'll be glad to let you have one, and you can fill it out if you'd like to be considered by our nominating committee. So serving like Jesus served here. What a beautiful picture we have here of service, giving our lives for someone that we love, for one another, for serving one another. He stooped down and washed his disciples' feet. You know that. Speaking of serving, so we can learn about his saving, his serving, but also his seeking here. He said, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. And he said, I'm laying down my life, and I have the right to lay it down again, and I have the right to take it up again. But he speaks here of his purpose and seeking. We know about the parable of the one lost sheep, how he, the good shepherd, I believe is the shepherd. Well, it is the good shepherd in the parable, but I believe it's speaking of Jesus. Seeking the sheep that are not of this fold. In other words, he sought you and me. I think this fold probably refers to the people of Israel. And he was speaking to his disciples. But he says, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. Did you know that you're a sheep? You may not go, bah, or make other sheep noises, but we're all like sheep. We're all sheep in the sense that we're really helpless. We're helpless to save ourselves. We're helpless to extricate ourselves from those hard places in life. And so we need a good shepherd. And here we find a good shepherd who seeks us with purpose. And that purpose being love. He loves us so much that he came into this world to be our good shepherd. Think about that. Think about how Jesus came to seek you. Seek me. So we can learn about his seeking, his purpose. His purpose is Christ. He says, I am laying down my life. I have no greater love, Jesus said, is there but for a man to lay down his life for another, or a person to lay down his own life for another. And that's what Jesus did for me. That's what Jesus did for you. And then in his power, he said, I have the right to lay it down again. And I have the right to take it up. That just shows me the power that Jesus has over life and death. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And according to what the scripture says, that he is the one through whom God created all things. So here we hear the Son of God speaking. Now when you think of that, is there anything beyond his power? Is there any heart beyond his power to change, to make a new creature in Christ, a new creation? If he is the creation or creator, then he wants to make you a new creation. He wants to create a new you, give you eternal life, bring you to that way of the cross. Paul said, I want to know him and the fellowship of his sufferings. He wanted to know what it was like to walk with Jesus on that way of the cross. That's a way of joy. That's a way of purpose and fulfillment. That's a way of eternal life, and the only way of eternal life. So I want to encourage you to take that journey to the cross, to be motivated by the motives of Jesus on that journey, his saving. Think about that, how he wants to save you. If you've not been saved, trust him today. And then, if you know him, reach out to others with the good news of Jesus. And his servant, he wants us to follow in his footsteps of service. He said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. And we haven't really learned what it means to walk with Jesus on that way of the cross until we have served others in his name. So serving, the servant is seeking. He's seeking you. If you've not responded, invite him into your heart today. If you've responded, to his seeking, and you've been born again through faith in him, then seek those ones that are lost. Share with them the good news of this good shepherd.